a very long reading today, but there was so much packed into that that it's probably difficult to know where to start. But what I looked at was that we've got so many people online and in the congregation that are new to Torah observance that I decided to speak on leaving spiritual childhood. And that's what happens when we walk into start our messianic life and messianic walk. We're losing and leaving behind our spiritual childhood and moving in to the next stage of our walk with Yeshua, with our walk with Yehovah, as his servant and as young men and young women, no longer children. So let us pray. Abba, I just thank you that for the word that you've given me this day, and I just pray that it will be received in a manner in which that you have purposed it. And I just give you the glory for every word and give you thanks in Yeshua's name. Amen. So I'm starting off with Bereshit chapter 12, verses 5 to 8. And it says, Abraham took his wife Sarai, his brother's son Lot, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, as well as the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan and entered the land of Canaan. Avram passed through the land to the place called Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. The Canaanites were then in the land. Yehovah appeared to Avram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to Yehovah, who had appeared to him. He left that place and went to the hill east of Beit El and pitched his tent. With Beit El to the west and Ai to the east, he built an altar there and called upon the name Yehovah. Now when we look at this scripture, it looks pretty simple. And it's for little children. Last week we read in our scriptures that Avram's father at that time, Terach, told him to leave and took him and went to Haran after Yehovah called Avram to leave the family and the land and go to the land of promise. Now Avram was called to the land of promise, but Avram still acted like a little child because he took his father with him. He didn't go by himself when Yehovah had told Avram to go. So Avram didn't do as Yehovah requested because he was probably fearful. He should have left his family and trusted in Yehovah. You've got to remember that Terach, Avram's father, was an idol maker. Not just an idol worshipper, but he was an idol maker. And Avraham was told to leave his father, but he didn't. He was that little boy that took his father with him. He couldn't go alone. He had to let daddy lead him right through the walk rather than walk by faith himself. So the reason we are studying this is because Avraham, whom Avram was later named, is the father of faith. And those who walk in the steps of faith are children of faith. So in order to walk in the steps of Avraham's faith, we need to analyze his walk. And we find that Avram's walk is a pattern that all believers go through. Avraham was afraid to walk into places he had not been before. Now, I'm autistic. I can associate with that really, really well. You know, I have to be virtually pushed into some places, especially when I've never been in there before. But Avraham was afraid to trust Jehovah for the first time when all his life he had followed his earthly father. Now Avram must have been in Haran for several years because we read in Bereshit chapter 12 and verse 5, which I've read before, Avraham took his wife Sarai, his brother's son Lot, and all their possessions which they had acquired or accumulated while they were in Haran. But not only had they accumulated possessions, but they'd also accumulated people or servants that he took with him as well. And it's when he left Haran and he set out for the land of Canaan and entered the land of Canaan. Avram had accumulated possessions and gathered many souls, maybe, as he had servants. Terach died, and Avraham was then forced by faith to follow Yehovah. Following Terach had only led him to Haran, where he simply spent wasted time. How many of us have sat in churches and spent wasted time? He accumulated a lot of wealth, but when people think monetary gain is Yah's destination for the final place of blessing, they are actually so far from journeying towards the true goal that they are simply wasting time. And that's what's happening in our world today. Our world today goes after the money. You just have to follow the money to see where we're going. And it's not the money that's important. Yah will bless you with everything you need. He will supply. We just have to have faith and trust in him. We have to get past being a child. Yehovah does want to bless us financially, but our goal is not to be blessed, but to be the blessers. That's what we should be aiming for. Yah wants to live through the vessels of our lives and manifest his nature through us. The entire Ketuvah HaShelachim, or New Testament, points to that fact. And in doing so, Yehovah will make us blessers. Now, Avram was 75 years old when he finally went on with the journey and left Haran. It was similar to the Laodicean church, where the people were increased with goods and wealthy, but in Yehovah's eyes, they were wretched, naked, and poor. They were so blind spiritually that they had to have eye salve or ointment that they might see. And we read that in Revelation 3:17-18, where it says, "For you keep saying, 'I am rich, I have gotten rich, I don't need a thing.' You don't know that you are the one who is wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. My advice to you is to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white clothing, so that you may be dressed, and not have to be ashamed of your nakedness, and eye salve to rub on your eyes, so that you might see." Real gold is, and wealth is faith. Because faith, or gold that we get, the gold we get from faith is tried in the fire. We have to go through seasons of fire in our lives to access this real gold of faith. Real robes of linen are the righteousness of Yeshua HaMashiach. There is an old saying that says, life is not a bed of roses. I have to disagree with it. Life is a bed of roses. I don't know if you've had a bed of roses and you've had to prune those roses, but the thorns can tear your skin. It is, and it hurts. So life is a bed of roses. There's a lot of thorns along the way. There are a lot of hurts along the way. But with our faith in Yehovah, we overcome. Once Avram learned to walk by faith for himself and personally trust Yehovah, we read a wonderful thing. He passed through the land of promise and he came to Shechem. Now I want to look at what Shechem means in English. When we look at it in English, it actually means back or shoulder. Some places say a ridge. And we've got a ridge on our shoulders. We bend over, we've got a ridge right through our spine on our back. The shoulder and back in scriptures represents strength. One carries the largest loads on one's back or shoulder. So Avram came to Shechem into a place of strength. We have to use our muscles for them to become stronger. The same applies to our faith. The more we use our faith, the stronger we become. Stronger in the word, which in turn makes our faith stronger. Once we learn to walk in faith for ourselves, that's when life pays off. We have to face the fear of the unknown. And we can do that when we've strengthened our faith life, knowing that Yehovah is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So remember the Exodus. Israel walked into Canaan regardless of how many giants were there and saw them defeated. Once Avraham started walking in faith, he immediately went into a place of strength. Until we learn to live by faith, we will always be weak. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "He did not, by lack of trust or faith, decide against Elohim's promises. On the contrary, by trust he was given power as he gave glory to Elohim." And then Avraham came to a place called the Oak of Moreh. Some versions say Mamre, but in the Complete Jewish Bible, as well as in the Hebrew scriptures, it says Moreh. Moreh is a very interesting word. In Hebrew, the oak means, the word oak means alone. So he was alone, by the tree or the great tree or plain. The Hebrew words often have more than one meaning. So the word for oak can mean a tree or it can mean a plain, depending on the context of the sentence. So this is what I'm trying to get to. When I think of a tree, I don't know what you think of, but I think of the stake. Avram learns for the first time to finally walk by faith and not follow daddy. He then enters a place called strength, where he entered a place called the tree or the stake or oak of Moreh. Now, Moreh in English means teacher. Moreh is the masculine term. If you are a woman, it is Morah. If I sign a certificate for anyone, whether it's immersion certificates or consecration certificates, I'll always sign it to Tamar Bat Yaakov, Morah HaTorah, teacher of the Torah. Okay, that's Tamar Bat Yaakov is my Hebrew name. Tamar, daughter of Yaakov. My father's name was Yaakov. My grandfather's name is Avraham. My uncle's name's Isaac. It's all through the family. My cousins are Ruth and Esther. I can go on. And David. So when it's in your blood, it's in your blood. You can't help it. It's just there. So now we've got Yehovah leads Avraham to the place of strength and to the tree of teaching. He couldn't have picked a better place to send him to. This is saying that when we learn to walk by faith, we will enter into a place of strength in Yehovah, and it will all be found at a tree of teaching. Where does this tree lead me to? And as I said, the tree gives me a shadow or a type of the stake. You will be taught through concentrating on the stake that will strengthen your faith and your walk. Avraham came to a place where the tree of teaching stood. Teaching is so needed in these last days. With so many false prophets, not just now, but more expected as we get further into the later days, we certainly need teachers of the truth. So you will recognize the false prophets when you hear them. This is the reason we tell you virtually every week to test everything. Don't take my word, Jot word, Sean's word. Test it. Check it out for yourself. We are here to be tested. We don't stand up here and not expect to be tested. We check everything out ourselves before we bring it, but you test it too if it doesn't sit right with your spirit. Don't ever, ever allow anything not to sit right with your spirit. Always check it. The stake has a lot to teach you. So much more than saying Yeshua died for you. You must believe it or go to hell. That's not all there is to it. You must begin to learn about your union in Yeshua HaMashiach. Learn about the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, inside you now. Learn about your position in Yeshua HaMashiach and what it can do for you in your everyday trials and troubles. And we're having more and more daily. Learn about who you are. Do you know where you are seated right now? It's not in this room. You are seated at the right hand of Yehovah with Yeshua. People say to you, you've got to die daily. But they misunderstand what you all said about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The truth is, we died once to sin already. Not only that, we were buried with immersion and resurrected, far above all the powers of the enemy, and seated together in the heavenly places with Yeshua. We don't die daily. We've only died once, as Yeshua only died once. It comes with time and it comes with knowledge of where we are, where you are in your faith, in your walk with Yeshua HaMashiach and with Yehovah and his only begotten Son. Yes, we do have to let go of our old nature. We have to become a better version of ourselves. But we do not die daily. In Jochen and Aleph, or 1 John 2 verse 12, it says, "You children, I am writing to you because your sins have been forgiven for his sake, Yeshua's sake. All that a newborn child of Yehovah understands is that their sins are forgiven them and they are on their way to heaven. But when they come to the stage of growth into the next stage and become what Jochenan called young men, then there's more that they have to begin to realize. There is not just heaven awaiting us, but there is a heaven on earth in the power of Yehovah's grace. There is victory over sin, Hasatan, and temptation. But you have to learn that and understand it. You have to go, and you need to go, to the tree of teaching. The stake has a lot to tell you. And what that means is, the death of Yeshua HaMashiach on the stake did more for believers than simply saving them from hell. We need to learn that our weak lives that we lived away from Yehovah are now gone. All things have passed away and all is now new. We are new creatures. We are children of Yehovah compared to sinners. Children of Yehovah have all of his power in heaven and on earth at our disposal. Children of Yehovah can overcome anything. But if these children do not understand that, then they still think they are weaklings and will live with a lot of unnecessary struggling. In Jochen and Aleph 1 John 2 verse 14b, Jochanan moves on and says, "You young people, I have written to you because you are strong. The word of Yehovah remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Young men is the second stage of growth, much like Yeshua is said to have been. So let us look at his life on the same slide there. Yeshua, a little child born, but his life was endangered by Herod's massacre, so he had to escape to Egypt. As a young man, 12 years old, he was astounding the doctor of law in the temple. Notice I said doctor of law. This is what I meant. They were not teachers of the Torah. They were the scribes and Pharisaic religious leaders pushing their own agendas. Yeshua knew the true Torah, and this is why he astounded them, because he could show them as a 12-year-old where they were going wrong. Because it's Yeshua's words that literally spoke the Torah into being. And when Yeshua turns 30, he becomes a spiritual father when he began his ministry. Avraham has now entered a stage of strength, or Avram. Notice that Jochanan said the young men are strong, exactly what Shechem implies in English. So he's in Shechem, or Shechem, and he is now becoming strong. And notice the thought of teaching is present here, because we read the young men have the word of Yehovah remains in you. They've been taught the word. So that teaching is there and it remains in them. So how do we become strong? We have to get the word of Yehovah into us. Read our scriptures every day. Learn at the stake of teaching. Eat the meat of the word. Receive in-depth teaching about who you are in Yeshua HaMashiach. Receiving teaching about the stake causes us to overcome. As the scripture of Jochanan Aleph, "You have overcome the evil one," he tells us. When first saved, you know nothing about the power of Yehovah that rests upon your life. You know how great Yeshua is, but then when you begin to learn that you are united to Yeshua HaMashiach, that is what the scriptures mean when it says so often that you are in Mashiach or in Christ. Young men and women have overcome the evil one. There's no need to fight the devil or evil one. We have overcome. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. As Yeshua said on the stake, "It is finished." We overcame the evil one. The battle is finished because of what Yeshua did on the stake. The tree of teaching teaches us that his death destroyed the power of the evil one against anyone who will believe in the crucifixion as the only means to free us from sin. Ha-Satan is defeated through Yeshua HaMashiach. You will often read of in Mashiach and through Mashiach, through the work of Yeshua who died on the stake. Ha-Satan is defeated in our lives. Our faith in Yeshua's necessary death for us on the stake leaves Ha-Satan already overcome. In the parable of the sower and the seed, we read a reference to the evil one mentioned in the words of the young men. In Matityahu chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, "And he sowed, and some seed fell alongside the path, and the birds came and ate it up." And this is interpreted as follows in 13:19. "Whoever hears the message about the kingdom but doesn't understand it is like the seed sown along the path. The evil one comes and seizes what was sown in his heart. The evil one, or Hasatan, comes to seize or take away the word of the kingdom from the hearts of those who do not understand it. Think about this. Not understanding the word of the kingdom makes the evil one move quickly to remove what the word is in your heart. Once we understand the word, no longer can Hasatan remove it. So why does Hasatan care if you get saved? Why does he care if you understand the word of the kingdom? Why not just leave it in such a person's heart? Because they don't understand it anyway. Obviously, he is afraid of seeing one come to an understanding of the word of the kingdom. That's the hint. The word of the kingdom. Yehovah's kingdom opposes Hasatan's kingdom. All that Hasatan needs is another person who learns that since Yehovah is certainly far greater than he is, those who are born into that kingdom, who are aware of that power of the kingdom, are simply going to be enemies he cannot defeat. When we are born into Yehovah's kingdom, we are born into the greatest power of the universe. We have so much power on our side that Hasatan is simply already overcome. But unless we learn about that, we will still think like we did before we were saved, and we will fear Hasatan. So when we do not understand the word of the kingdom, Hasatan goes to work to get that out of our heart as soon as possible, before it perhaps can sink in and take root and learn who we really are in Yeshua HaMashiach. I used to think that Satan simply wants to hurt Yah the worst way possible, so he hurts mankind, which is in Yah's image. But it is more serious than that. The book of Revelation tells us that the evil one has great wrath, knowing his time is short. And Romans says that Yehovah will shortly crush Hasatan under his feet. In Romans 16:20a, it says, "And Yehovah, the source of shalom, the source of peace, will soon crush the adversary under your feet." Hasatan is actually afraid of himself. He attacks us so that we will lay off him. He goes after the little children believers so that they will quit and never learn about their power and their heritage. So stick with it. Learn who you are now. Just an aside, satanic worshippers in their worship wear masks and stand 6 feet apart. Do you see a current picture here? Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 3 and verse 8. The person who keeps on sinning is far from the adversary, because from the very beginning the adversary has kept on sinning. But it was for this very reason the Son of Yehovah appeared, to destroy these doings of the adversary. This is a head-on collision with Hasatan, to pulverize his kingdom, and he is afraid. We are to grow into a maturity where the little child, who only knew his sins were forgiven, learns and begins to become strong. The stake of strength of teaching has strengthened that believer. The blood of Yeshua that he shed on the stake is seen to be as powerful as it really is. This means that the event of the death of Yeshua simply devastated Hasatan's entire power over a born-anew believer. It may be strange talk about believers becoming strong, but it is connected with the phrase that we mentioned before, you have overcome the evil one. We have to get that into our heads and we have to believe it. We have overcome the evil one. Every time you feel things coming over you, personalize it. I have overcome the evil one. Hasatan has no weapon formed against me. Avraham came to the tree of teaching, or the stake of teaching. It is the word that makes young men strong, remembering that Yeshua is the word of Yehovah. Avram left spiritual childhood when he walked by faith and came to Shechem, which means strength. This means that the information we receive regarding the death on the stake accomplished causes us to be a force against the evil one, because that destroys Hasatan and his works. When we read that the son of Yehovah was manifested to destroy the works of the evil one, we are reading a reference to the purpose of Yeshua to be crucified. The Romans who crucified him did not know this, but Yehovah had this all planned. He planned that Yeshua would die as a sacrifice. Yeshua knew that from birth. And that sacrifice would destroy the works of the evil one. Yeshua said whilst praying to his Father in Yochanan chapter 17 and verse 17, "Set them apart for holiness by means of the truth. Your word is truth." We know Hasatan is a liar. How else could the evil one be such a worry to believers when they have a God who is greater than the evil one, unless he gets by through lying to these believers and they believe it? But when we learn the truth of Yehovah's word, and that the real picture is what the real picture is, we see Hasatan's lies pop like balloons, and he cannot deceive us anymore. Hasatan lies to your minds, especially when you are struggling. We learn about our power through Yeshua HaMashiach. All our power is in him. We learn from the scriptures that the overcoming the evil one is a past thing, since we are united to Yeshua HaMashiach. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, "They defeated him because of the Lamb's blood and because of the message of their witness. Even when facing death, they did not cling to life." This is a mighty reminder to us in these end times, and to a combination of two things. The blood of the Lamb refers to the death of Yeshua on the stake. It did not say we overcame because of Yeshua's continual efforts to stay on top of things since he won the battle at the stake. It did not say that Yeshua is continually fighting battles to help us overcome. It said they defeated him, the believers defeated Hasatan, because of the Lamb's blood. Past tense. It's been done. This means that the single solitary event of the crucifixion did the works. And that's why we read in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, "But this one, after he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of Yehovah, from then on to wait until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet." All enemies that will ever exist have already been conquered by the stake, but it is just taking time for the chain reaction to complete itself at the end of the world. That's coming sooner than we think. What a powerful work has been done with the death of Yeshua HaMashiach. No more work needs to be done. It is finished. He sat down after the job was completed and just waited. And he's still waiting. He's waiting for us to learn about it. Waiting for us to stop messing around in low esteem and to get with it and claim the power that he paid for over 2,000 years ago. Then it did not say either that we overcame by the blood and an ever necessary fighting using our weak strength. It said we overcame by his blood and the message of our witness. You may understand it as the word of our testimony. And that's it. It's our testimony that we supply to others that is going to win them. Pointing to scripture, showing them scripture is not going to do a thing. We have to show by our witness, by our strength. It's like this jab. They're now offering $1 million on a raffle type thing in Queensland if you take it. They will can't pay me $1 million to take it. They will kill me first. I'll only go to be with Yeshua sooner than what happens if I've had the jab. They cannot pay me to take it. It is coercion beyond coercion, in my opinion. It's our word of our testimony. My testimony is that my faith is in Yeshua HaMashiach, and I depend on him for my life, not some jab. Does it sound too good to be true? It must not have been the tree of teaching yet. The stake of teaching has a lot to inform us about victory. The message of our witness is the very same thing that Hasatan tries to catch away from little children's hearts. The word of the kingdom. Truths. Truths that we claim as our testimony. This happened to me. It is truth. I can't change what happened to me in my life, but I can share my truth with others. The Bible, or the scriptures, is the mirror of a child of Yehovah. It shows the child of Yah what the child really is. It shows you that you are dead with Mashiach if you are born anew. It shows you that you are buried and resurrected, because it shows that you are united with Yeshua through faith in his death for you. And since you are in Yeshua, united to him, it shows that you are also ascended with him, far above all the powers and principalities of this air. Talk about strengthening your faith. Yehovah is telling you, you are at my right hand of power. Now use that power of my name and watch Hasatan flee. Truth is a weapon against the liar Hasatan. Even Yeshua was shown to grow into this stage. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, it says, the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom. Yehovah's favour was upon him. In Ephesians 1:19 to 22, it says, how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the mighty strength he used when he worked in the Mashiach to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or any other name that can be named, either in the Olam Hazeh, that is this earth, or in Olam Haba, the world to come. Also, he's put all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the Messianic community. And further down in Ephesians 2, verse 6, it tells us that it is Yehovah raised us up with Yeshua HaMashiach and seated us with him in heaven. We are in the same place of power as Yeshua. And then we read further down in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally grow powerful in union with Adonainu, that is our Lord, in union with his mighty strength. His mighty strength. How can we be strong in his mighty strength? It is his might or power, not our might or our power. We have to realize that it's not our power. It's nothing we can do. It's his might and his power. But we are united with him. We are in Yeshua HaMashiach, and he is in us. We are one, and the word teaches us that. We are united to him and to his death, since that is the first part of the good news, and you must believe it. Death, burial, and resurrection. You died with him, and since you died on the stake, the tree or the stake of teaching, is the first place that you must come to if you want to be strong. There you learn of union to him. And since you died with him by faith, you are yet now united to him and also ascended with him wherever he is. You can be if you begin at the death or at the stake. And in Romans 6 and verse 7, it says, for someone who has died has been cleared or cleansed from sin. All who turn their entire lives to Yeshua and ask him to forgive them of all their sins and forsake their old lifestyles of sin are united to him in his death. Then you are buried with him after dying with him or being immersed in his name. Death broke sin's hold on you. It's broken his hold on us. It is like we died as far as Yehovah is concerned when we agreed that Yeshua had to die as our only means of being freed from sin. And since we died in Yehovah's eyes, we are freed from sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin, according to the word. It's so good to Yah that he marked it down in his account book, in his book of life, that we actually died to sin in Yeshua. And who can argue with that? Yehovah gives us his Ruach, his spirit, since we are connected to Yeshua's death. We are as much of a group of overcomers as Yeshua is, because we are united with him. Avram left spiritual childhood and came to strength at the stake of teaching, and we read that the Canaanani were in the land, the very land Yehovah wanted for Avram. Well, would not the evil one pitch his tent in the very place that you must come to see that you will conquer him and smash his works wherever you go? Even though Hasatan wants to keep you out. The Canaanani in the land, that means the place of faith. Faith is where you come and make the evil one really sweat. Don't back down now. Live what you have learned. Drive him out and win the day. You have got Yeshua backing you all the way. The evil one is defeated. He is disarmed. He's like a toothless lion roaring around, making a lot of noise. But when it comes down to it, you will always have the victory. Is that a hallelujah? Hallelujah. And when we say he's defeated and disarmed, that's how I see him. No feet, no arms, no teeth. He can't do anything. That's exactly how I see him. I don't picture many things, but that is one picture that I've had for a long time. That's how I see Hasatan. We have power over him. We have power because we have the victory in Yeshua HaMashiach. Is there any questions? A little bit to chew over, I think, for some. Oh, we have a question.
Just on when you're talking about the $1 million prize thing, that for me, I was thinking about that this week, that for me confirms that we shouldn't be doing it.
Exactly
because
right.
Because as far as I'm concerned, they're just coming up with more and more bribes, and it says that Hebrews are not supposed to take bribes.
That's right.
So it's confirmation for me that you shouldn't be doing it. It just shows his hand. Hasatan just shows his hand. If you know the Torah, you can see it clear as day that that's clearly what Yah doesn't want, because Yah doesn't need to bribe anyone. You know, it's
that's exactly
gift.
Right.
So if there's a bribe involved, then you shouldn't be doing
it's,
it.
If there's a bribe involved, it's Hasatan working.
Absolutely.
Yah doesn't give bribes. He blesses. Okay, let's move on to the remembrance service if no one's got any more questions or any comments.